First United Methodist Church, second Sunday of Pentecost, June 14th, 2020. I would invite you all to listen this morning to the praise and worship that we have. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Pray with me. Our Father, be with us this day as we praise and worship you. May our hearts be strangely warmed. We pray for Pastor as she gives us the words you would have her say, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
His name is Master, Savior, Lord, we come and we remember you, and our eyes are fixed on you. We thank you, Lord, that your name is wonderful, that you are the Lion of the tribe of Judah, that you are the Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, Wonderful Counselor. Lord, we thank you that your name is Life. Your name, Jesus, means save. Save. He saves. And so, Lord, we praise you. We thank you for your name, Emmanuel, that you are with us, that you will never leave us, that you will never forsake us. We thank you, Lord, you have not left us as orphans, but you have left your Holy Spirit here, Lord, to be our comforter, to one who comes alongside. And Lord, we come to you this morning, and we bow before you, that you are the Holy One of Israel. And Lord, we thank you that as our nation is in turmoil, and Lord, we thank you that you do not, you are seated on the throne, that you do not wring your hands, but Lord, your name is faithful and true. And so, Lord, we come to you this morning, and we intercede on behalf of our nation. God, we cry out to you for mercy in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for Atlanta. Lord, we pray for the family of Rashard Brooks. And God, we pray that you would comfort them. You would surround them, Lord, with the comfort that only you can give. Lord, we pray for the police in Atlanta. And Lord, we pray for our police throughout the United States. And Lord, whether we love them or whether, Lord, you tell us to bless our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. And so, God, we come to you this morning. We pray blessings upon all the police in every state. And Father, we pray you would bless them in Jesus' name, that you would protect them in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for our leaders, our mayors, our governors, all the way up to President Trump. Father, our leaders need wisdom. And so, Lord, we pray that you would give them wisdom in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray you would protect them in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we continue the prayers for George Floyd and his family. God, we pray your peace and your healing and your comfort to be upon them in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for the situation in Seattle. And God, we ask for your mercy in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just lift all of our needs up to you. All of is our nation is roiling. Our nation is in turmoil. Father, we lift it up to you. And Lord, we know that only ultimately, Lord, you are the answer. You are the answer. And Lord, you tell us, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from your wicked ways, then you will turn and you will heal our land. So Lord, I pray that you would forgive us as a nation for being arrogant and proud, and Lord, going our own way and seeking our own way. I pray, Lord, you would forgive us, Lord, for turning our back on you. Lord, you would forgive us for just seeking, Lord, the wisdom of men and not seeking your counsel. And Lord, we come and we humble ourselves and we ask you, God, for mercy. We ask you, God, for healing. We ask you, God, to forgive us in the name of Jesus for turning our way, for turning our own way, for seeking our own way, for just trusting in ourselves rather than trusting on you. Lord, for having a form of godliness but denying the power of it. Father, we ask you to forgive us in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we humble ourselves and we come and we turn. And Lord, we look to you and we ask you, God, to come. King of glory, come. Lord, we want you in the fullness of who you are, everything you died to give us. We need you. Father, we pray for our scientists as they are studying COVID-19. We pray, Father, you would give them wisdom in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask you to bring healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, bring healing. We pray, Father, for our first responders, police officers, doctors, nurses, firemen. Father, we pray you'd be a shield all around about them. Lord, bless them. Comfort them. Help them, Father. Pray for the situation in South Korea, China, Hong Kong. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. Send forth laborers, Lord, into the harvest field. Lord, we come and we do humble ourselves. And we pray the prayer, Jesus, that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Honor and worship our Lord today with the giving of your tithes and offerings. Lesson today comes from 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, verses 21 through 25. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering. Just as Christ suffered for you, he is your example, and you must follow his steps. He never sinned, nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, or threatened revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, we are healed. Once you were like sheep, who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of our souls. This is the word of God, and it is true.
about, you're not here, but imagine it with me. I want you to imagine a sprinter. And when a sprinter is in blocks, what do they have? They have one of their feet that's a push-off, and they have one of their feet that's up, and then they have their hands on the ground. And so when they're ready, and then on the set, they go up, and then, you know, they go. But that leg pushes off, and that's part of our journey with Jesus, is getting saved. The second is then that other leg comes up, and then it goes, and then our arms come up. And so this whole passage is what it looks like to live in Christ with all three of those motions. When you've got the leg behind, it pushes off, then the other leg that comes up, and then the arms that go. And so what does it look like? You need all three of those things. And what is that? What is that? Grounded in hope. So I want you to have that image in your mind as I go through this. Philippians chapter 1, 19 through 30 is the text, but I want to go back. Just read so you can see it all in context. In beginning in verse 12. Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in that, I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now here that I still have. As we talked about last week, Paul is in lockdown, and yet he preaches the gospel. He says, become known to all the imperial guard. And then he hears about people that are preaching Christ out of rivalry. But what does he do? He still preaches Christ. He does not let that thwart him, and he keeps going. And in our text this morning, this doesn't fit in a nice, sweet little homiletical idea. And so this is kind of a Bible study this morning. But it's a really important point. And one of the fun things about preaching through an entire book is you look at every verse and you don't, even the ones, and this is one that I like, but sometimes you got to look at stuff you don't like. And this is, again, it doesn't fit in a tight outline, but it's really, it's important. How is Paul able to keep going and spite of his circumstances. Again, he's in lockdown. For I know, verse 19, that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. We need to pray for each other. Paul is saying that he's going to be able to make it, and Paul's saying, because of your prayers for my deliverance. You look through Paul's letters, and I only wrote some of them down on your outline, some of the references. I don't have all of them. But Paul says, pray for me. And he does that several times throughout his letters. And I just want to read through some of those. Really short and sweet, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 25. Paul says, pray for us. In Ephesians 6, 19, he says, pray for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Romans 15, 30 through 32, he says, I appeal to you to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. And it's a given, and yet Paul says, pray for me. And in his letters, there are a lot, and we looked at one earlier in Philippians, and he says that Paul's praying for the Philippians. He said, I pray for you that your love may abound more and more with all knowledge and all insight. And in others, and we've looked at them in Ephesians, he says, I pray that the Father of glory would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him better. I pray that in Ephesians chapter 3, he said, I pray that your heart would be strengthened, that you would know his love that surpasses all knowledge. Paul was a lot of things. He was a preacher. He was an apostle. But Paul was a prayer. And in our modern day, if you stereotype things, we tend to think of women as the prayers in the church. And that's not how it was in the early church. Paul was a prayer. Peter and the apostles were men of prayer. And so he's asking the body to pray for him. And we have to remember, Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. We make the church a lot of things. For some, it's a social outlet. For some, it's a social service. You know, but the church of Jesus Christ needs to be about Jesus Christ and ministering to him in worship and acknowledging him. And we need to pray. We need to intercede. We give thanks. And that's part of being a kingdom and priest. And we offer up our lives as a sacrifice to him. Romans chapter 1, that's our spiritual sacrifice. And we need to be praying. James chapter 5 says the prayers of a righteous man or a woman, they are powerful and they are effective. And we tend to separate our prayers from our surrender and our obedience. But the two go hand in hand. If we're interceding on behalf of our nation, but we're not offering ourselves as a living sacrifice, that's not real prayer. If we're doing all service, but we're not praying, that's not Christian. Because they both, we need to be people of prayer and service. They go hand in hand. And part, I think, of where we are as a nation is because we haven't done that well, church. We've relied on service, but we're not a praying people, and we're not a people that are surrendered and letting the love and power and glory of Jesus flow out to be his hands and his feet. And we need to, that's what the church is. That's what Jesus called us to be. A house of prayer for all nations. Paul is doing that. He says, I need your help. Pray for me. And we need to pray for one another. For I know that through your prayers, he's going to make it because of the people are praying for him. And the second thing, and with the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, Paul is able to keep going because he is filled with the Holy Spirit. And he is filled with hope. He is filled, as we've seen in Acts chapter 16, when he and Silas were in Philippi, and they got beaten by rods and thrown into prison. They were able to sing and worship in that circumstance because the Holy Spirit was in them. It gave them joy that transcended their circumstances, filled them with hope beyond what they could see with their temporal eyes. And so the Spirit, John chapter 14, Jesus said, that is better if I go away because I will send powerful statement. Where is Paul able? I mean, he's in house arrest. Eager expectation. Hope. Full courage. Christ honored. Where does he get that conviction? In Acts chapter 9, there's a glorious story of how Saul, the killer of Christians, encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he encounters Jesus powerfully on that road, and it so transformed his life. And Paul writes about it later in 1 Corinthians, and he said, we are a new creation. When we encounter Christ, there is something that happens in us, that our spirit, which is dead, comes to life, and we are a new creation, and the old is gone, and the new is come. And there is a, I'm going to read this, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Paul is talking to the people at Corinth, and he says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Paul's saying, he's talking to the church at Corinth, and he's listing this, you know, these sins. And Paul is saying, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And some of you were there. And some of us have been there. Some of us, and Paul, and you know, Saul includes, you know, he was a murderer. Paul was a murderer. And he said, that's what we used to be. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. When we encounter Jesus Christ, when we are born again, we are changed. There is something that happens on the inside. And I would submit to you, that's the first starting block. When our feet, if you imagine some, you know, a sprinter, that's your foot that's in the back. And that's where we start. We don't run the Christian life. You're not a Christian unless you are born again. Going to church will not save you. Having parents that were godly will not save you. Being a moral person will not save you. You have to believe in Jesus, that he died on the cross and that he rose again. And that's our starting point. That's how we become saved. And all of us have sinned. All of us committed, you know, we're not going to go there, but you know what you were before you became a Christian. You know who you were. But in short, all of us want to live our own lives. We're arrogant. We're proud. We want to do what we want to do. We don't want God to set the rules. We want to play by our own rules. And yet Jesus came. He died on the cross and he rose again. He paid the penalty. And that's where we start. Paul is able to have this astounding hope because of his encounter. He encountered Jesus Christ and he was forever changed. He says, verse 21, an amazing statement. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. What does it look like to live for Christ? Just exactly what I just said. It starts with Jesus. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. To live for Christ is follow Jesus. Galatians 2, chapter 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. I die to my own desires and say, Lord, your will be done in my life. Lord, my focus is on you. My plans, what I wanted for my life, Lord, I surrender, man. I want to live for you. And then to live for him, the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to have fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. What does that look like? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, instead of a sprinter in the blocks, I first had a person, like an image of a person standing, as I thought about this, grounded in hope. And our first foot is grounded in who Jesus is. And we are born again, and we are changed, and we have hope in him because of who he is in life. And our other foot is in hope that is to come. To live is Christ. To die is gain. The thief on the cross is a thief. He sees what's going on. He sees Jesus on the cross. He sees him crying out. He sees the forgiveness. He sees that, and he knows there's something different about Jesus.
Reveal himself, and he does that. I read about that in some places in the world, but
that's not normal and that's not common. How do people learn about Jesus? How do people know that he's alive? How do people know that he's love? How do they know that he's a holy God? Because it's demonstrated through his people. How do they know that there's a kingdom and that there's power? And Jesus said, if I go, it's better that I go because the Holy Spirit will come, and what I've done, you're going to do. We are his agents of healing. We are his agents of justice. We are his agents in the world. Live a manner worthy. Live a manner worthy. Worthy of the gospel of Christ. As I read this week, this was all really, really good. I was getting really, really excited. You keep going. Look at verse 28. Not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Question 7 on your outline. What two things go hand in hand if we're to live for Christ? Earlier here, Paul's talking about boldness and being bold. And we need to be bold for him. And so we're going to be bold. But what happens as we live for Christ? Is the world going to like us? No. Jesus said if they hated me, they're going to hate you as well. Look at the disciples. Jesus is resurrected. What are they doing? They're hiding in the rooms. They're hiding. They are afraid. But the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And there's something that happened to Peter after he's filled with the Holy Spirit, where he had been afraid, denied Jesus. There is power and there is courage on that man. And he is no longer afraid. He's not afraid of anybody anymore. We need Holy Spirit boldness, perhaps like we've never needed it before in our country. It's not good enough. It's not good enough just to name the name of Jesus. We need his boldness. We need his power. But with that comes suffering. We will suffer for his name. As we take a stand, and we need to take a stand for Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. We need to stand for him in this hour. And we need courage and boldness, perhaps like we've never needed it before. But as we stand for him, and as we're courageous for him, we will suffer for him. And I love this so much. In Acts chapter 4, the believers have threatened Peter. They threatened John, and they said, don't speak anymore in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 4, I want to read this. This is so beautiful. Don't speak anymore in that name. We don't like that you healed that guy. We don't like the power of God. We don't like that. Stop. Don't speak anymore in that name. They come together and they pray. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. They went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, you through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, and they quote Psalm 2, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your Holy Spirit, of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. We need that same boldness in this hour to tell about Jesus, to tell about his life, to tell about his death, to be ministered. ministers of reconciliation, because Jesus is coming back, and we need boldness, and we need to stand, and with that we will suffer. But listen to what they say in Acts chapter 5. Verse 41. Acts chapter 5, verse 41. Again, they're in the midst of revival. People are being saved. People are being healed. People are being delivered. And they are being, the apostles are arrested. Chapter 5, verse 37. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people. He too perished, and he was scattered. So in this present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this is plan or this is undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God. So they're trying to figure out what to do with these Christians and everything that's going on. So they took his advice. When they called on the apostles and beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, they let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. You all, where has our courage gone? Where that attitude that was in, they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. May we have that same kind of boldness. May we have that same kind of conviction. Because as we run this race, and we are born again, and we have one hope in this world, and we're going to live for Jesus, and we have hope in the eternal, and as we run, may we live our lives in a manner worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be courage, to have boldness, to let his Holy Spirit flow through us, to be his hands, to be his feet. Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Let us fix our eyes on him as we run this race, as we live for him. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, who did not, he suffered, but for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Paul was able to make it because he had encountered the living God. It had changed him, and he had hope for this world, and he had hope for the future, because he knew heaven was real, and he knew that God was up there. Stephen, when he's being stoned, what is he looking at? He's looking at Jesus. He's looking at him, and his eyes were fixed on Jesus. May we be such a people that we live for him, that we're willing to die for him, that we live in a manner worthy of him, because he is coming back, and he wants his bride to be clean, and the bride has made herself ready. May we have courage. May we have boldness. May we stand for him. May with the same conviction that was in Paul be in us, that we may live for him, so that we may die for him and live a life worthy of Jesus Christ, because he paid it all for us. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he paid it all. I thank you, Lord, for Paul and the conviction that he had, and it came out of an encounter with you. He was truly born again. Lord, if there's anybody in the sound of my voice this morning that listens to this podcast and you're not sure if you're born again or not, the Bible says that if we believe in Jesus, that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and he died on the cross for our sins and he was raised from the dead, if we believe that and we confess in Jesus, we will be saved. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be saved, that we would be born again, that we would believe in you. And Holy Spirit, come into our hearts. Come in. And Lord, I thank you for the hope that we have in you, that heaven is a real place, that you're preparing a place for your people, and you're getting ready very soon to return. And Lord, I pray that we would have the hope, that our eyes would be focused on you, that we would overflow with hope by the power of your Holy Spirit, and we would live our lives in a manner worthy for you, that we would have courage, that we would have boldness, that we would be your hands, your feet, your mouthpiece, Lord, to a lost and dying world. Lord, we don't anymore want to have a form of godliness, but deny the power of it. Lord, this world needs to see. see your power. It needs to see your healing, Lord, manifested through your people. So, Lord, that comes through us. So, Lord, we yield ourselves to you. Fill us up with your Holy Spirit. Shine through us, Lord, so that we can be your agents. Thank you, Lord, that you're alive. Thank you, Lord, that you somehow, Lord, I don't understand it, why you would limit yourself. But Lord, you've limited yourself to your people. And Lord, I pray you wouldn't hold back any longer. That the same attitude that was in these early disciples, what an honor it is to suffer for the sake of the name of Jesus. Lord, that we our eyes would be so fixed on you. Stretch out your hand, Lord, and perform signs and wonders through your people so that many, many, many can come into the kingdom. We bless you and we honor you. And Lord, we take the Lord's Supper this morning and we remember Jesus. We remember that on the night that you were betrayed, you took bread and you broke it. You gave thanks. You gave it to your disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. On the day you raised him from the dead, he was recognized by his disciples in the breaking of the bread. And in the power of your Holy Spirit, your church has continued in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ
has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us, Lord, as we listen to this podcast and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood and empowered by the gifts of the Spirit. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other,